What's good, everybody? This your boy Drizzy Dre, Mr. One and Only, sitting in the chair, and you know what that means. Welcome to another edition of the Flex Zone, the only place that can give you sports how you want it, when you need it. It's fellas night, y'all, because our lady, she's a little under the weather. It's flu season, as you know what it is. So that means I got my dog, Kervonte. What's good, baby?
What it do, man? Y'all already know I'm lit. My dog in the Super Bowl, dog.
Yo, D, what's good, man?
That dog.
And, of course, my main dog, man, Byron, what's good, man?
Well, just like Tom Brady back in the Super Bowl, the Flex Zone is at you once again.
Oh, boy.
Yo, oh, my gosh, man. No, let's get right into it, fellas. Conference championship weekend. The game that everybody's been talking about first, Steelers, Patriots. What in the world happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Hit it, D.
Dun, 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 dun. That's what happened.
Hey, man, D called it, man.
He did.
And I didn't think it was going to be a drum solo, but I did think the Patriots would win. But, my gosh, the Steelers did not come to play. Just flat out across the board, offensively, defensively, they did not show up. And of course, Bill Belichick, he's gonna get his boys ready. Tom Brady led his team. You already know they're gonna be ready to play. They've been out here at AFC Championships. That's nothing new to them. They made it look easy.
I'm really in shock. It's not that because I expected that. Actually, I called it a blowout too when I was on the Mark Steiner show. I said that the Steelers had no chance in hell. of even defeating the Patriots. And everybody was like, well, the Steelers have a chance. I was like, they have no secondary and they have no pass rush. I was like, I already knew the storm was coming. But this offense, I at least thought they would be able to at least score some type of points against the Patriots. Even with Le'Veon Bell when he got hurt, the fact that you have D'Angelo Williams back there, you have Antonio Brown, and you still were not able to generate points. Byron, what did the Patriots do to stop this offense? Because a lot of people were saying that this is one of the best offenses in the league.
Well,
maybe the best.
The greatest coach of all time, I'm calling Bill Belichick. He takes away what you do best. And with the Steelers, that's getting the ball to Kervonte. I think we agree the best receiver in football, Antonio Brown. They did a good job not giving him any free releases off the line, single, double, some triple coverages. And Big Ben, not being the sharpest, I think you've seen – he's getting older in age, but you see if you can get him out of the pocket, get some pressure on him, definitely have a chance. He will give you a pick or two a game, it seems like. And without Le'Veon Bell, not really much of a running game. And give the Patriots credit defense. But on the night where the Royal Rumble's approaching, Mr. Hogan getting it done, 2 touchdowns, most receiving yards by an undrafted player in a playoff game. And when they got him in offseason, I think he would be a difference maker because he actually has speed, unlike Edelman, who has more quickness. But he's been a great player for him. And this team is back again in the Super Bowl.
I'm glad that you touched on Hogan because, my gosh, this guy looked like the second coming of Jerry Rice out there. I mean, D, what was it about Hogan? Because this is a guy that, I mean, I know the Ravens kind of gave him a coming out party, but what was it about Hogan in this particular game that was able, what that made him stand out as opposed to a Julian Edelman or somebody like in the past, a Rob Gronkowski for Tom Brady?
Like Byron was just saying, that speed was just incredible. Once he got the ball, he took off, and the Steelers secondary got exposed big time, man. They wasn't able to guard that, and Bill Belichick does it again, man. I tell you, I don't know how he does it, man.
The best part was his post-game presser. They said, hey, you know you're playing the Super Bowl? He said, I have no idea. I love it. I love it.
I was like, dog, you don't pass a TV, nothing.
Nah, I think if somebody comes up, if you tell them who they playing, you getting fired, so you might as well not tell them.
Well, you'd be like Robert Kraft now, just be up there and just sauced up. And he wasn't sauced up with Kraft macaroni and cheese either.
Oh,
look,
boy.
Look, let me throw some stuff at you guys. Do you know that this is Tom Brady's 24th postseason win?
Wow. Wow.
Got to be most all time.
Yeah,
yeah, he is.
Just keeps added to the list.
And I mean, bro, he's in the AFC Championship almost every year. That's at least 2 wins, like right there every year.
Look, this will be the 7th Super Bowl appearance for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has now surpassed Don Shula for the most Super Bowl appearances of all time.
Wow.
Wow.
Mike,
but now I would like to speak on this game. Who was checking Hogan? D, you said that the Steelers' secondary was exposed. They never had a secondary. I don't think it was much to expose. Like, Hogan and Edelman had over 100 yards receiving.
Man, just ridiculous.
That's crazy. And three touchdowns between them. Did y'all know that Amendola actually played?
I mean, it was to the point where you could have had me or you out there, man. That's how.
Oh, yeah, we'd have got the rock.
No, that's the next game. We'll talk about shortly.
But, my gosh.
The Tom Brady Revenge Tour is making his way to Houston to meet Mr. Goodell.
And also, have y'all heard that ticket sales are low?
Yes, I did. Because your dog is playing in the Super Bowl. And not because the team. And you let me finish, damn it. Because the team that should be in there, they not in there.
Stop it. Oh, stop it.
No. It's because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, and they know that they're known for quote-unquote cheating. That's why people are not so excited to see them in the Super Bowl again.
No, it's because the Dallas Cowboys, who got robbed again, should have been in there.
Man, what are you talking about?
They got robbed with number 19, who wasn't even in the huddle.
Well, you need
they called
stop.
This bogus. They called this.
I was in the second
it's all a conspiracy,
you're
man.
You're blaming on one play?
Yes, because one play can change the momentum of a game.
How many plays are in a football game?
Wait a minute.
How many plays are in a football game?
Carante, so wait a minute.
Too many to count.
So do we not talk sports? Does momentum not change in a game? Did they not stop the momentum of the Dallas Cowboys?
Stop momentum. What are you talking about? They didn't stop momentum. What are you talking about?
Uncle Mo didn't have nothing to do with that.
Whose fault is that? You acting like the Packers, the Cowboys did that to themselves.
No, it's the refs. It's a conspiracy.
No, you need this.
But nevertheless, do you guys realize that this is the 51st playoff victory for the New England Patriots, and they're playing in Super Bowl 51?
Wow.
And that's something.
Dre, I got a quick one for you. This is Fox's 8th Super Bowl ever, and 6 of them have dealt with the Patriots in some form.
My gosh.
Ugly.
Wow. Well, I think the last time I remember when they were on Fox, this is when they lost to Eli Manning the first time, if I'm not mistaken, with, as Skip Bayless calls it, the miraculous catch that should have happened.
Yeah, two lucky plays. He'd be 6 for 6 right now.
Insane that this guy is 4-2. Now, it's a lot of talk asking, is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time? I know, Byron, I know what you say. D, I'm just going to flat out ask you. Now, is it predicated on this Super Bowl?
Or
you're just going to flat out say he's the greatest quarterback of all time?
He's got to win this Super Bowl. He's got to win this one. If he wins this one, then I have no choice. Put him at the top. I have no choice.
Carante, what about you?
Now, guys, we're talking greatest of all time, which meaning there's only can be one quarterback that's the greatest of all time, or are we having a bunch of elite guys that we're talking about?
No. A lot of people say, is Joe Montana, Tom Brady? Who do you have as the number one all time?
See, it's funny because both these quarterbacks are they're so accomplished in this one particular system. So it's kind of hard to differentiate that, and they both have 4 Super Bowls. They both have great coaches of all time. I still would say Montana because Tom Brady has a lot of flack that goes along with him and his organization, and Joe Montana was straight out. But Tom is definitely 2. I mean, you can't deny what he's done with the lack of talent around him, lack of receivers. I mean, these same receivers probably wouldn't be much of nothing on other teams, but like you guys said, Hogan, Edelman, these guys are looking bona fide great. You know what I'm saying? And he honestly really hasn't ever had a running game, but his defense has been above average in a lot of those Super Bowls.
So
but I say Tom is definitely 2.
So if he wins the Super Bowl, do you place him then at number 1? Over Joe Montana?
Man, you know what, man? If he wins the Super Bowl, it's kind of hard not to, man. Because it's five and seven. Seven appearances, five Super Bowls. That's kind of, yeah, it's kind of hard not to.
Look, I agree. I'm with D. I'm kind of on the fence about putting Brady at number one because, I mean, this is a guy who he has, like, he's a mix of Joe Montana with Dan Marino numbers. I mean, he's in an era where we've seen Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and now Brady in his late career
is
putting up numbers that you're usually people are on the decline, but this is a guy who seems to just get better and better year by year. You see Peyton Manning was on the decline. The only person I can remember in recent history who did good when they were 40 was Brett Favre. But I mean, it seems like Tom Brady got like 5 years left in him at the rate he's going. I don't see him retiring anytime soon, and Tom Brady could go to a couple more Super Bowls because it don't seem like he has any competition in AFC.
Especially looking at these teams.
It's really unfortunate because also, talking about football back in the day when Joe Montana played, the competition was throughout. It was competition everywhere. Tom Brady's been walking to the AFC Championship kind of like LeBron-esque, you know what I'm saying, in football. He's had cakewalk. Like, he really hasn't been challenged yet. Look who he's played.
You're right. But
those, if you take all that into account, it's still hard to put him above Montana because Montana played in the era where football was completely different.
I don't know. I mean,
even down to the point of how they play defense.
But this is still an era. I mean, if you want to do the LeBron comparison, you could argue LeBron on that top five echelon because of the level of competition that he has to go through each and every year. I mean, so
you mean the lack of competition? He's not seeing no competition to the Super Bowl.
Who, Tom Brady? I mean, Tom Brady still has had to see the
I'm sorry. I meant to say LeBron. LeBron's not seeing the competition to the championship.
LeBron's seen some competition. I mean, what about the big three in Boston?
All right, how long did that last?
What about the Pistons? I mean, he's had to go through some talent. Miami was in the conversation.
How long ago was that? Like he experienced that like very 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 early in his career. When's the last time he had competition? You talking 2008? That's
what about 10 years ago. What about Indiana? I mean, look, he's faced teams.
No, man, come on.
But
out of his own mouth, he has no rivals.
Whatever. But we're gonna keep it in the.
That was 10 years ago, Dre.
Whatever, and we're gonna still stick to the AFC. It's a tweet by Booger McFarland, and he gave the blueprint on how to beat the New England Patriots. He said, give me 1 second, guys.
Something that's easier said than done.
at least it won't be like Roll Tide, you know. I mean, excuse me.
Shot. Deshaun Watson will be a top 15 pick now.
Okay. He said how to beat the New England Patriots was don't rush three guys, disrupt the wide receivers, don't blitz Tom Brady, don't play zone, play two man and single high safety.
What?
You play that all day, he'll pick you apart.
That's basic. That's the most basic thing ever. First of all, how you gonna play two man and have a single high safety?
If you let him sit back there all day, he'll pick you apart.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't agree with don't blitz Brady because you've seen teams like the Baltimore Ravens who did give Tom Brady a run for his money when you had Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs back there. You know, when you
even the Jets when they got pressure on Brady.
When you saw that he starts tap dancing.
Denver last year.
When they say don't play zone, I can kind of agree with that
because
he did pick apart the zone.
That's the only thing. Like,
if you did
disrupt, talk about the elite at quarterback. Either way, you have to pick your poison either way. Because even if you blitz too much, you have to have a nice mixture of defenses. Play back, sit back, sometimes not necessarily zone, but just rush four, then blitz every now and then, because if you show any elite quarterback too much of something, he's going to get comfortable with it eventually and start beating it. It's not don't blitz ever or don't play four or play four all the time. It's you have to have a mixture of it. Mix your coverages up. Mix the blitzes up. You can't show him – you can't let him get comfortable.
It's like a game of chess. Yeah. Gotta mix it up.
And you play with Tom Brady and you play with Bill Belichick, who's a mastermind of defense. So you got offense and defense covered.
I mean, does anybody agree with what Booger is saying?
Where does he cover? What does he cover again?
College football.
Okay.
He didn't say nothing.
Exactly.
Stick to the SEC network, Booger.
He said nothing.
My niece could have tweeted that.
Hey, nothing profound. Some of what he said, though, I do agree. He said disrupt the wide receivers because it's just like Peyton Manning. If you disrupt the timing, of course, that's going to throw Brady off. I believe he's wrong about don't blitz Brady. I believe he's right when he says don't play zone.
That's the only thing he's right about.
When he says don't rush three guys, I'm like you can rush three to four guys on Brady. To me, it don't matter. And he says play two men and a single high safety. That one, I don't know.
You better have a good safety back there. Yeah. Is Ed Reed playing?
Wait.
Ronnie Lott?
He said play two men, not a single high safety.
To play two men and a single high safety.
That's not a thing. How you gonna play two men and have a single, like, you have two safeties back there, so that's two men. What do you mean?
No, he's probably meaning like two, like you have your two corners to play man and then a safety over top in case somebody gets beat. Like in the Hogan, like in it's this one play where the flea flicker, where Tom Brady tosses it. Well, Tom Brady gets the ball back and he tosses it to Hogan. If you break down that play and you notice if the safety plays to his man and to his area like how he's supposed to, then Hogan doesn't get that wide open and score the touchdown. The problem was the Pittsburgh Steelers were trying to play hero ball and they weren't playing man. And if you had stuck to your assignment, then you would have got your asses blown out like you did.
Anyway. He didn't say nothing profound. That could be said about any quarterback in any league, in any profession. Like, you didn't say nothing profound.
Pretty much.
All right.
He said nothing of substance.
Now, I want to quickly touch on Zachary Orr and his retirement from the Baltimore Ravens at the age of 24. Byron, you got the Ravens hoodie on, so go ahead and give your two cents.
Well, the hits keep coming, even after the Ravens season is over. You lose your number one leading tackler, you undrafted player who was with C.J. Mosley, one of the best young linebacker tandems in the league, probably somebody who's going to make a lot of money this offseason too, restricted free agent. At the age of 24, I think 15 or so players retiring now at a young age, a neck injury, unfortunate circumstance. But sadly for the Ravens, it's been a thing the past two or three seasons. Injuries and inconsistency, the two I's. And sadly, now the Ravens have a bigger hole in their defense. Not only do they need corners and pass rushers, they need another inside linebacker. They may lose their best D tackle and Brandon Williams. And offensively, Steve Smith retires. So an offseason of questions, to say the least. And bringing back Marty Mornhinweg and all the guys from the offense doesn't make a lot of people happy in Raven Nation. So Zachary Orr is just a list added to the blemishes of the Ravens organization right now.
Hey, Jeremy Sutar's in the Pro Bowl, though.
They need to cut him, too.
You know, I tell you, hearing the news about Zachary Orr was a little devastating. It is sad to see a young man at 24, career ahead, and just get knocked out the box. It is sad, but glad to see he got the situation under control early. And that it wasn't something that would paralyze him for the rest of his life. So, good luck to him. He'll probably be still around in football as a coach somehow. And
yeah, he said that he was interested in coaching. So maybe he can come back to the Ravens organization and contribute. But you do hate to see the stuff like this. A guy at the age of 24 retiring, especially like Byron was saying, because this guy was just starting to get his stride, and you knew he was going to make some money, especially the way that he was playing. He was balling out. But, things happen in football. I'm just glad that he was able to catch this early and make this decision early, walk away from the game, and not be paralyzed or anything from the game. So we definitely are happy about that.
Keyword, walk away from the game.
Now, somebody that should have maybe walked away from the game.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
The Green Bay Packers.
Was he bad? Oh, it was just bad. That's right.
Nah, it wasn't his fault yesterday, okay?
Oh, okay.
All them drops, man, fumbles, that was not his fault yesterday.
Yeah, come on, Byron.
Those wide receivers, like, I'm not absolving Aaron Rodgers, but I'm just saying, man, it looked like them wide receivers wasn't getting no separation from the Falcons corners or the Falcons DBs in general. And I'm just like, and I'm surprised he only threw one interception.
Man, did he even have time to throw the football? My gosh. Like, they were throwing the house at this guy. But
what they did to Aaron Rodgers, you have to do the same thing to Tom Brady. They have to do the same thing. Because even Aaron Rodgers, as good as he is outside the pocket, he looked flustered just about the whole game.
You're right, he did.
And this was a guy that moved to his left and moved to his right and still accurate either way. Man, they didn't hit him a couple times, sacked him. He threw an interception. I was like, oh, God. Yeah, this might be it. And it was over pretty early.
I could not believe Atlanta just was scoring the way that they did. When they scored that first touchdown and then Green Bay tried to answer with three and then Crosby missing, I was like, what? When does he miss? And
yeah. Right.
Then, you know, you could just feel the momentum. Mr. Mo, baby. Shifted.
You see, you feel Mr. Mo, and then you felt Hammer.
Warming up.
Right on. Man, it was warmed up, and then it heated up, like, real quick. And I'm like, gosh. But you know what? The Falcons, they're like the New Orleans Saints, man. They're world beaters at home, man. They're, like, unstoppable in that place.
And it's the last game in the Georgia Dome.
Yes. It will be missed.
Yeah.
What a way to close it out.
Yeah, it will be missed.
That is unfortunate.
But before we go on, though, can somebody tell me why is this called the Mercedes-Benz Stadium when you have the Mercedes-Benz Dome in New Orleans?
They might as well buy the whole NFC South.
The money.
They'll be coming to Carolina and Tampa Bay next to buy them.
Acura, Dodge,
NFC Mercedes-Benz.
There you go. NFC
Honda. I mean, Maybach something. Like, Jesus.
Well, is the new stadium, isn't that like a retractable roof?
I think so.
Dome.
I mean, the Georgia Dome's only, what, 25 years old? So,
yeah.
I mean, and the Braves getting a new stadium, too?
Well, they're horrible. They might.
I heard they have heated seats, too.
Well, they're going to need them because they're going to be some pissed off fans up there.
They ain't winning nothing anytime soon. Chipper Jones, no, Andrew Jones, they ain't walking
Chipper
through the
Chipper Jones rolling over in his grave.
Yeah. Bad as the Packers secondary was.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, boy, they're hot guns.
It was bad. But guys, granted, the Packers defense never really been good. And this was a historically great Falcons offense.
It was. But, I mean, we all just assumed that after the performance that he put on against the Dallas Cowboys, that Aaron Rodgers would just find a way. But it just shows you that if you are a great quarterback but with a horrible defense, you better be accurate, spot on, flawless, because if not, you'll get blown out the water in the first quarter.
I got a couple questions.
But that also goes to show you and goes to say that it's hard to repeat performances like that, man. He needed every bit of what he gave to beat the Cowboys.
Did Clay Matthews play yesterday?
Clay Matthews played.
Oh, I thought he was at the game. I didn't see him.
And then for him to have a great performance like that and then go to Atlanta in the Georgia Dome against the Falcons, the red hot Falcons, it's a lot to take on. And at some point, it was going to get overwhelming.
So what do the Packers need to do in the offseason to improve their defense? Because offensively, we already see that they got people such as Cook, Jordy Nelson, maybe if you add a running back, but it seems like their issue is on the defensive side.
Health. They got to get healthy on both sides of the
always,
ball.
Always that, but you got to start up front. Always starts up front on both sides of the ball. Got to get somebody to get the push up front. Got to get somebody either nose tackle or, you know what I'm saying, a defensive tackle. Got
to
start the line.
Byron?
Well, I call Aaron Rodgers makeup because he covers up a lot of blemishes. That team, they play in a predominantly weaker division most years, the North with the Bears, Lions, Vikings, they're inconsistent. So they're going to be front runners in that. But the question is, like with that 2010 team, two things they could do is run the ball and play defense. Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews was on that team, had some great players. Ty Montgomery's done good, but I don't think he's an every down back. Maybe Eddie Lacy can get himself together. They're going to have to get, I think, at least a legitimate running back, maybe add a piece to the O-line, keep Rodgers upright. And they got to get some corners as well. They couldn't cover anybody, much like the Steelers. And granted, a lot of injuries to the back end. High Clinton Dix had a Pro Bowl year, but I do think they needed some corners. And Julius Peppers, I mean, he's been playing great throughout his career, like James Harrison. Is this it for him? They're going to need more pass rushers. And maybe getting Clay Matthews back to the outside, letting him be more of a pass rusher, and moving Jake Ryan inside.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they need help, and they need help fast.
Yeah, especially if they want to be able to compete. But, I mean, can we at least, Byron, can we at least give Aaron Rodgers a hand clap? Because he took a team that wasn't. This team was not supposed to be an NFC championship
America worker Aaron Rodgers is.
You know what? While Tom Brady is clearly, and it showed again, the best quarterback in football with the receivers he has, who are average, as you said, at best, Gervonta. With some of the big playmakers, Jordy Nelson, you know, Devontae Adams is big time, Cook. I do like Allison. They got some receivers over there. I don't care what anybody says. Aaron Rodgers is a close two, and he's one of the greatest of all time in his own right. But in the playoffs, besides the two wins this year, we see that, you know, he had struggled recently, and he needs some help, just like everyone else. And I do like Mike McCarthy as a great coach. He's very underrated. He's a very good offensive-minded coach. So picking low in the draft, this is a good year for running backs and corners, some of the deepest positions in the draft early on, Gervonta, get some help there.
So, all right, let's ask this question as we wrap up. Who's more valuable to their team? Is it Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's definitely Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots have proven that they can win without Tom. It's the system. It's Aaron Rodgers or bust in Green Bay.
we saw that yesterday.
I'm just
Byron,
saying, like,
who do you think is more valuable to their team?
That's a good question because, granted, I know the system in New England is foolproof, probably the greatest I've seen in football, but nevertheless, we know the difference this team was with Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, who made the Patriots may even be able to get a first round pick for this year from the reports.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at this team with the receivers, granted, you take away Tom Brady, this team isn't in the Super Bowl. They might lose that game to Houston because they didn't play that great. So Tom Brady makes a world of difference. But you see Aaron Rodgers, like I said, he's like makeup. He covers up a lot of problems they have on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. It's tough because you look at the system, Bill Belichick's system is great, and it may not work with every quarterback because I think Aaron Rodgers, granted, we don't want to talk about the off-the-field stuff, but he's a personality in his own right.
Yes,
Tom Brady, granted, he has the Uggs, he has the supermodel wife, but Tom Brady's very coachable. That's one thing I give credit to. He's very coachable, he takes direction well, and he works at his craft. Not saying Aaron Rodgers doesn't, but Aaron Rodgers is more of a superstar. He has the State Farm commercials, things like that. So he's more of an ego in a sense. Not saying he's not a coachable guy, but I think Tom Brady gets a lot of slack. But he's very coachable, and he's very easy, I think, to work with. Because a quarterback with that kind of numbers and historic value, he would be making $150 million. Tom Brady takes a pay cut every year, look.
Sure does. Right.
But it's either way. I mean, you look at both. They're great now, all right.
This is the final question, and we'll wrap up this NFL segment. Did Matt Ryan solidify his campaign for NFL MVP?
Sure did.
I can't be mad if he gets it.
I mean, he had about four touchdowns, almost 400 yards. Man, that offense looks amazing, and it's going to get Kyle Shanahan a job.
Don't take the 49ers job. Don't do it, Kyle. Don't. No, don't do it. I love you. Wait next year. You can come to Baltimore. Don't do it.
Well, wait a minute.
Don't do it. Don't do it. That is a problem. I know you want to be a coach. I'm not mad at anybody's dreams.
So that's a prediction.
Well, the thing is, the rumor has it that they're going to get Carrante's boy, Kirk Cousins.
Hey, man, that number two pick better be involved.
Oh, Lord. That could be a lot of fun.
That number two pick, but you know what? Sean McVay loves Kirk Cousins, too.
He does.
So we can ship him around if it's crazy because, you know, Scott McLuhan, that's not his guy. So Scott McLuhan probably wants another quarterback in the back of his mind anyway. But I'm just saying, the 49ers got their second overall pick, which I want to do because I know Byron, I'm sure we'll link up soon to do this draft, the draft preview. But this is a weak class in quarterback.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
And it's funny because I think it's three of them projected to go in the top 15.
Yeah, and that's gonna be a mistake. And
it's gonna be a big mistake. And I hope the Cleveland Browns aren't one of them.
Yeah, ooh. if they pass on one, they do the right thing. Then it will be a lot of interesting. You got the Jets, you got 49ers, you got the Bears, you got a lot of bad teams.
Yeah. But it could be very very bad. But Kirk Cousins, he's proven. We see what he could do. Sean McVay's familiar. Kyle Shanahan's familiar. Hey, if Kyle go to 49ers, this might be a good thing for the Redskins.
And this also proves that Matt Ryan is better than Joe Flacco.
I was just about to say, Andre, if Matt Ryan wins the Super Bowl, which I think he will,
Early prediction.
He will undoubtedly be better than Joe Flacco.
Flacco has that clutch factor in the playoffs, but Matt Ryan, you see what he can do when he has a piece of
I think everybody would agree that Matt Ryan may be the better overall quarterback, but I still in the postseason say you take Joe Flacco over Matt Ryan.
I don't argue that. It's just, granted, Matt Ryan has Julio Jones, Sanu, Gabriel, Kyle Shanahan. Flacco's never had that, probably might never will. But Matt Ryan has shown year in and year out he can get it done.
Cravante, what do you think about y'all new offensive coordinator, Matt
Kavanaugh?
Oh, boy.
Well, guys, I have a little fun fact. D, Byron, and also Andre, when you sometimes a Ravens fan. He actually lobbied to get Tom Brady. And y'all passed on him. I thought that was a little funny, saying how Tom Brady's career has unfolded. But he said he really liked Tom Brady and he wished he could have coached with him. But quarterback coach, I mean, it was the right choice. I think at this point, as a Redskins organization and coaching staff, it was no point, unless it was going to be Wade Phillips or Gus Bradley on the defensive side, don't bring anybody new in.
You got Jim Tomsula, D-line coach.
Yeah, I like that, but... as far as defense and offense, we're talking about offense right now, keep the continuity the same, because when it's the same, you get better at it. When you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you eventually get better at it. And hopefully, I think under Kavanaugh, Kirk Cousins will only get better. But
Kirk Cousins.
Right. But let's see how bad Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan actually want him. But if not, we'll probably tag him again. Who knows? Because, he's good enough to get paid, but not good enough to get paid. He's in that weird gray area. But I like to move on both the offensive and defensive side of the promotion.
All right. This wraps up our NFL segment. As we go to break, go to our Twitter poll and answer the question, is Matt Ryan the NFL MVP? Stay tuned, y'all. This is the Flex Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM, the only place that can give you sports how you want it, when you need it. On the other side of this break, we'll be talking some wrestling, giving you a preview of the Royal Rumble. The 413 Center Incorporated is an emerging nonprofit organization dedicated to serving the children and families of Baltimore City through an array of comprehensive programs and services. 413 is hosting an 8-day historically black college and university bus tour from Maryland to Florida during spring break, April 6th through April 13th, 2017. Full tour sponsorship is $750, which includes transportation, lodging, meals, materials, and activities. 413 will visit the campuses of 15 HBCUs, allowing participants the opportunity to experience life on a college campus, apply for admission, and make informed decisions about their educational future. Visit www.413centerhbcutour.org or call 410-921-9512 for more information about the tour, including the application process and ways you can support this effort. All right, y'all, this is the Flex Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM, the only place that can give you sports how you want it, when you need it. All right, it's been a while since we did this, but wrestling is back. Of course, when we talk wrestling, I got my right-hand man for this, D.
Woo!
We got my man Byron joining us.
I'm back, just like Goldberg and The Undertaker, ready for the Royal Rumble.
And welcome back. Like Kurt Angle.
I'm back, baby. I am back. Roger's back in the house. What's going on, fellas?
Not only do we get Trump, but we get the son of the bastard himself.
The son of the bastard with a belt, though.
He embraces it, man. It gets no better.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. So we're going to get right into it because we're talking about welcome back parties. Kurt Angle, the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame, class of 2007.
It is. Well deserved.
It's about damn time.
It is. I agree.
Roger. Woo!
It feels good, man. It feels good to be back. But Kurt Angle, man. I'm telling you, man. I hated the day. I hated how he left WWE. I mean, the last time I actually seen him on a WWE, whatchamacallit?
Tearing up, man.
Yeah, I am, man. I am, man. The last time I seen Kurt Angle on a WWE network, man. Oh, man. So it was on Sunday, man. When he threw him out, I was like, "Oh, Kurt Angle's gone." I thought it was a joke, but they was like, "Nah, he's really gone." I'm like, "Really?" And then he was on TNA for however long. But it's great that he's back in WWE. I mean, he belongs here. His career has always been in WWE ever since he won the Olympics in 1996. You know, he wrestled some of the greats in WWE. He accomplished a lot in WWE, and although the crowd chants that he sucks, he doesn't really suck. He's a Hall of Famer come March.
I mean, when the crowd chants "you suck" to Kurt Angle, it's not like with John Cena, like John Cena sucks. Like this, the crowd is just saying it because it like the crowd actually respects Kurt
right,
Angle,
right.
And they know that every time he steps through the ring, they're gonna get one of the best performances they've ever seen.
Plus the music matches, so
yeah,
that is some great interest music. By the way.
It is. Got to witness one of Kurt Angle's greatest matches in Baltimore. He fought The Undertaker in 2006 at No Way Out.
Yes.
Oh, it was a great match. And Kurt Angle showed he can wrestle with anybody. He can make a broomstick look good. He can make a gold medal look good if he wrestle it. And it's great to see he's in the Hall of Fame. But hopefully he gets some in-ring action, too. Want to see him against AJ Styles. We knew something from TNA. Or him against Seth Rollins, even. Or him maybe being in the Royal Rumble Sunday, hoping.
Or one more thing. I mean, he did help, you know, ignite John Cena's career also. We could also see that match again.
I would definitely love it. You talk about that match with The Undertaker. I was there too, D.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, Kurt Angle won that match against The Undertaker.
Yeah, it was. It was like either a double pin or something, but they said Angle had pinned The Undertaker in the right combination or something, but it was great, man.
But I mean, as a matter of fact, that match was so great. It should have been a WrestleMania match. A lot of people saw, but Undertaker was okay with Kurt Angle ending the streak during that time. But Kurt Angle didn't want to end the streak, so the WWE decided that they would instead do Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker early, and then I think that same year, if I'm not mistaken, was Mark Henry versus The Undertaker.
Yeah, and the casket match, yeah.
But, Byron, what are your thoughts about Kurt Angle being inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame?
Like Roger said, great entrance music. One of the best technical wrestlers ever. Accomplished, gold medal. It's fun to watch wrestle, and wow, it's good to see him get in the Hall of Fame. I would like to see, like D said, maybe see him in a match soon, maybe Sunday, or at least get a little action. But his submission move, the ankle lock, I'm going to break your freaking ankle. One of the best submissions, probably up there with the figure four leg lock, sharpshooter, Walls of Jericho. Ankle lock is right up there. It was great to watch and see people tap in agony. It was just amazing. And I'm sure he'll have a great speech. He's overcome a lot out of the ring as well. And hopefully he can be back in the good grace of Vince McMahon and see him in the WWE moving forward.
You know how you point the finger Hogan used to? And you seen, if you're down in the South, you seen Jerry King Lawler pull his strap down. But Kurt Angle pulled both of them straps down. It's like, look out.
I mean, Byron talks about his ankle lock. I mean, he's made many people tap out.
Yeah.
He's made Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan,
Brock
Lesnar.
Make Hogan talk, tap out.
John Cena. I mean, these are, you know, Mr. Never Give Up. Is the only person to ever make John Cena give up was Kurt Angle.
Not to mention, he was hilarious too, especially when he
what was it, the corporation that he hit? Or was it
that was the alliance with the milk truck.
Yeah, with the milk truck.
Milkomania is running wild.
What he said, the billion-dollar princess has now become
a Dairy Queen. Queen.
Yeah. So.
And then he had the guitar with Austin and Deborah. Oh, that was hilarious, too.
Edge and Christian, too.
I don't care.
Right.
Edge and Christian had their stuff with Angle, and then Edge and Angle had that haircut match, yeah, and that's how Kurt Angle became Ball.
And then that's also how Kurt Angle started the You Suck chance was because of Edge. Remember when Kurt Angle came out versus John Cena and he was rapping?
Right.
So.
Oh, no. This last one, we was watching this the other day when Shawn Michaels... Sensational Sherry, God rest his soul, and Kurt Angle was dancing together, talking about sexy Kurt.
Oh, but remember when he put a Sherry in the ankle?
Yeah,
lock?
Then he put the ankle. I make your ankle hurt.
Oh man, Kurt Angle, man. Oh my God.
Very quickly, something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. They're gonna be talking about Kurt Angle Friday. Outside of this great podcast, check theirs out, too. It's pretty good.
Now, Kurt Angle, do you expect to see him in the Royal Rumble, Byron?
I don't think all the 30 people have been named, right?
No.
That's some surprise.
It's always a few surprises every year. So, like D said, I mean, it would be fun to see. I don't know if we'll get him or maybe this, such short notice before the WWE Hall of Fame speech, but it would be a great surprise. I'm sure that WWE always does a... Royal Rumble is one of the best pay-per-views I think we can agree on. They do a good job of surprising with the last, 25 to 30, last five entrances. Yeah. And looking at the names that we'll talk about in a second, I mean, they've already done a hell of a job, in my opinion. So they're doing what's best for business, much like my friend Dre here. And I'm excited to see. I think we'll see it, though, possibly before the year's over.
Well, thank you for that.
I shout you.
Roger, what do you think?
I think Kurt Angle will be in the Royal Rumble. I mean... They got a lot of, giants on in this Royal Rumble. And I'm serious. There's a lot of big people in this Rumble.
On D call him. Right. What you call him, D?
I call him the old timers. Dig him up.
There you go.
Dig him up. So, I mean, Kurt Angle fits right in with them. So.
No, wait a minute.
He does. I mean, but it's going to be nice to see him in a Royal Rumble. I believe we'll see, a couple more matches with him. Probably in WrestleMania, too. So, I mean, I'm just happy to see him back where he belongs. So, yes, we'll see him in a Royal Rumble.
D?
Yeah, I would like to see him and Rusev, man. They would have that Mania match this year. That'd be great.
I think if the match was to happen, I wish it would have happened when he was undefeated.
Oh, Rusev?
Yeah, I think that was the best time.
I mean, that's true, but I'm gonna say he's gonna be in it. I would be shocked if he's not, but I think he's gonna be in the Rumble. And remember, WrestleMania is in Orlando. Kurt Angle, believe it or not, was in TNA longer than he was with the WWE. And TNA main area was based in Orlando. So it does kind of fit in a little bit there.
How long was he with TNA?
Almost 10 years, right?
I mean, in the WWE.
He was only 8.
That's about right. Yeah, it's been like 8-9 years.
No, actually, might be less than that. No. He was only with the WWE for, 6 years?
I want to say.
99 till 2007?
2006. Because he left in 06.
Okay.
So, I mean, but within that time span, though, that he did a lot. WWE.
That first year, he won every belt just about, man.
Yeah, he's won every championship you could think of in the WWE. From King of the Ring to the WWF champion within less than a year, he's beaten Undertaker, The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, Jericho, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Hulk Hogan. I mean, the list could go on and on and on of people who Kurt Angle has defeated. It would definitely be great if he was in the Royal Rumble. I expect to see him in the Royal Rumble, and I expect to see him in a couple of matches coming up. Kurt Angle looks far from done, in my opinion, and anybody that you put Kurt Angle in the ring with, I would definitely, some of the matches I would love to see him face, AJ Styles.
Woo!
Kevin Owens.
Woo!
Yeah. Brock Lesnar.
Ooh. Oh my.
I don't know now. I don't know. That's been known. Kurt's had some broken necks. We do not know.
The F5 would not do him very well.
No. Ooh. And one of them broken necks was against Brock.
I'm not concerned about the F5. I'm concerned about him going to Suplex City.
Oh no, Lord. No, no, no.
But speaking of going to Suplex City, What was that at Survivor Series? Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, ended in less than 2 minutes. Byron, last time we were on the show, you was really happy about this, and it didn't live up to the hype, did it?
Hell no. I mean, I love me some Goldberg. I love me some Brock, too. I thought we would at least get a decent match, better than the one at WrestleMania. It was at 20.
Yeah.
I think we would at least get a better match than that Survivor Series. The hype, the build-up, getting people like me back to watching wrestling. I thought it would be at least a good close-out match, but I don't know what the hell happened. He pushed him, and he pushed him back, and then he was counting to three. It was over. It was that quick, two spears, and that was it. So I'm betting this match will be longer than 2 minutes.
Vince McMahon saying, wham, bam, thank you, fans.
Yeah, be like D or Drake. Get that WWE Network for $9 a month. But I don't know what it was. I mean, Goldberg has done a good job of coming back in pretty good shape. He did struggle a little bit during the jackhammer. You saw that, but Brock Lesnar will be back. I'm pretty sure of it.
He's definitely back.
He's back. Yeah, I see him right now. But he's back, yeah.
He's taking a few people to Suplex City.
Oh, yes, he is.
Roger, what do you think, what do you expect out of the Beast incarnate in the Royal Rumble?
Oh, I expect him to raise all kinds of hell. That's what I expect. I expect him to be throwing, damn near everybody out the ring besides the Giants, of course. Goldberg, and it's probably going to come down to Goldberg, Brock, Undertaker, and Strowman, and Finn Balor.
You think Finn Balor is back this early?
I think he's back. I think he's another surprise.
That's another surprise to you?
Yes.
What do you guys expect? I mean, Goldberg, Taker, Lesnar. What do you guys expect in the Royal Rumble matchup?
Ooh, D, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I expect chaos, man. It's going to be a lot of big names in this thing. You're going to have Big Show. You're going to have, we just said, Lesnar, Undertaker, Goldberg. But I'm going to go with a surprise to win the Royal Rumble. I think all these big names is going to set their WrestleMania matchups up. Samoa Joe is going to debut, and they're going to have something big for him, and I think he's going to win the Royal Rumble.
Woo, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't expect that. Samoa Joe, I mean, that would be nice to see.
Even him or returning Finn Balor to set up a match with Roman Reigns. They got to get a Universal title. That fruit roll-up belt over. They got to get it over.
So you're set that Kevin Owens is going to lose to Roman Reigns?
Yes, I am.
You are? You think so?
I think Owens and Jericho is the avenue they're going.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't see it that way. I think Kevin Owens is going to retain the belt, but
you got to have Roman do something. Roman got to do something big.
He does, but I mean, there's matches for Roman Reigns.
Right.
Think about it. He could face John Cena. He could face The Undertaker. He could face Braun Strowman. I mean, he could face Kurt Angle.
I don't see it. But
I don't know about that.
The only reason I say that is because I mean, AJ Styles made Roman Reigns look like, you know, the second coming out there. So it's possible with somebody like Kurt Angle in the ring.
Yeah.
We could see Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar again. I mean, we didn't get a clean finish.
No, we didn't.
So there's many possibilities.
And that's the one good thing. There's a lot of avenues they can go down this year.
So
they was handicapped last year by injuries. This year they can go down a lot of avenues. Bringing Goldberg back is huge. I think him and Lesnar is married together, however. But if they want to switch that up and have Goldberg win the Rumble, I won't have a problem with that either.
Wait, all right, so you think Goldberg – so do you think Goldberg is winning the Royal Rumble?
I say Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe.
Mine is Finn Balor.
Rogers is Finn Balor. Byron, who do you expect to win the Royal Rumble?
I think we'll see another Lesnar-Goldberg match, so they'll cancel out. I wonder what they're going to do with Undertaker. I don't know if he has a clear opponent for WrestleMania. I don't know if he's in the shape to be or back in regular shape to be on every show and – be a champion, but I think it could be one of the surprises maybe that they haven't talked about. But I expect pure chaos. I do think, like Roger said, like he was saying, that some of the older guys will be some of the last people left, and we'll get pure chaos, kind of what everyone would want to see, and maybe have a surprise entry, take it home.
My surprise pick is The Undertaker. I got the Undertaker winning. I've heard for a long time that they were saying there were many rumors going about saying that The Undertaker would face AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble, have John Cena win the Royal Rumble, and then they face at WrestleMania. They may be going in that angle of flipping it, having John Cena win the belt for the 16th time. Woo! Tying Ric Flair. Okay. Then have The Undertaker win the Royal Rumble and then face at WrestleMania. So there's
I don't think that match is going to happen. I heard Vince was kind of next to Cena, Undertaker, Dale. They're leaning towards Undertaker facing somebody on Raw.
I hope not Braun Strowman.
And I'm feeling that he could be going that way.
My Lord, please.
Braun Strowman,
please
no.
Don't let that happen. I mean,
I'd rather for Big Show to face Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I mean, Big Show got Shaq. We already know Big Show and Shaq going at it in Orlando.
I like The Undertaker. Everybody knows that The Undertaker
is my favorite
wrestler.
I'm going to kill you, Big Show.
But
I'm going to take you out.
But, I mean, not Strowman. Undertaker's done that.
You know, Vince loves Strowman. You've heard that.
Undertaker's done enough
the
of the Giant Gonzalez's, Diesel's, the world.
Hey, that Diesel Undertaker 12 match was not that bad.
I'm just saying he's faced enough big men over the years. I could go down a list of the big men.
Oh, yeah,
men
I agree. Your boy Heidenreich, you know?
I would like to see Undertaker get a nice farewell, maybe championship run. Before
yeah.
he
yeah. Yeah, well, yeah.
That would be appropriate, especially this year, maybe being his last real big year in the Rumble. Maybe going to WrestleMania, maybe winning a belt or sometime this year. May not keep it that long like usual, but having a belt.
He deserves it. You know what I would I would definitely love to see if Sting was in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, man, that'd
be
great.
That'd be another surprise, too, though.
That would be awesome.
You know, make sure the neck brace is on. I mean, I'll make sure.
Could we see, could we see Daniel Bryan, maybe?
No.
I mean,
I would hope for WrestleMania, though, him and The Miz, that would be
good, though. If he could screw The Miz somehow, though, that would not be bad either.
Now, speaking of SmackDown, though, which show is doing better right now, SmackDown, SmackDown Live, or Raw?
Oh, that's easy. SmackDown Live is doing a whole lot better.
Why do you think that?
It's more edgier. I mean, the content is just a lot better than Raw is. Sometimes Raw has its moments, but a lot of times during these 3 hours, it gets to a point where it gets slow. And most of the time, it's at the 10 o'clock hour. But SmackDown, you just go through it easily. I mean, you're watching and you're like, wow, this is really good. And then by the time you're like, you know, watching it, it's already over with. You're like, whoa. And then there's a bunch of surprises all the time. I mean, the few.
Don't forget the ending of SmackDown last week with Mickie James.
Right. When she was the masked
woman.
What was the name? The Lucha?
The Lucha Dores or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't expect that. I never saw that coming. I thought it was somebody else.
Well, D had called that one.
Yeah, I seen Mickie James coming back. So it's good to see her back. You know, she does some interesting stuff sometimes, but she is a great women's wrestler. There's no doubt about that. But I think SmackDown is doing better. My man, Dolph Ziggler, not Dolph, but Dolph like Dolph Vader Ziggler. Well, he kicked Jerry King Law in the heart last week. I tell you, boy. I tell you, I was like, oh, man. That's how you do a heel turn right there.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it, man.
Yeah, first of all, bringing back Kane's Court. We haven't seen the Kane's Court in, 20 years?
Right, we ain't seen it in a hot minute.
Like 20 years.
But it was fitting, though.
It was fitting. It was in Memphis. Jerry's going to be calling the Rumble Sunday, and that's good for him. But the only thing SmackDown's still lacking, the main event picture is still a little lacking. But that mid-card area with that Intercontinental title, Miz did a great job bringing that belt back to relevance. Ambrose has it now. We'll see what happens with that.
America Alpha too.
Yeah, America Alpha with the tag belts. They got to get that tag situation right on SmackDown also.
Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton right now.
Yeah, and Luke Harper could be turning good, turning face.
So
and let's not forget Natty. Natty's bringing it too.
Natty and
she's
Nikki.
Bringing it. Natty and Nikki.
I mean, it's to the point where we've forgotten about some of the other women on SmackDown. I mean, on Raw, it's been Charlotte, Sasha.
Right.
But at least on SmackDown, they've really spread it out between Becky Lynch.
Yeah, Becky Lynch.
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss.
Mickie James down at
Mickie James. You've got Nikki Bella.
Carmella.
Natty.
Yeah,
and Carmella, too.
Hey, by the way, let's get James Ellsworth in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Ellsworth Rumble.
Stop.
Hashtag.
You know
what?
No.
Ellsworth Rumble.
No.
And you know what? If he comes in, I hope he breaks Santino Morella's record. So.
No.
No shade either.
Byron,
Santino.
What,
no shade.
What do you have you been able to watch either Raw or SmackDown?
Well, like D calls, we call it NyQuil. It does have slow points, like Roger says, but you do get a lot of the more.
You get the moments.
Bigger moments, the bigger stars sometimes. But I do like what SmackDown's doing. I like the Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton team up. That's just fun TV.
I don't know, for whatever reason, it's just great. AJ Styles has been great since he came over to WWE. And SmackDown Live, I mean, I remember SmackDown was pre-recorded. Now having that live aspect, never know what to happen or to expect. And I think, like Roger said, it's more fast-paced and helps out with a lot of the more newer or not as hardcore fans, more casual fans, too, and where 3 hours can be sometimes hard to keep up every Monday.
It brings you back to that traditional Raw that they used to have with just 2 hours.
Exactly.
And it brings back that old feeling, too, also, yeah. You know. But you know what also, you know, makes SmackDown stand out? SmackDown? Smack Talk. Talking smack is excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have the WWE Network, subscribe to it for $9.99. I am telling you, Talking Smack is one of the best post interviews that you will ever see out of superstars.
And there's no knock on Shane McMahon or Bradshaw's in there sometime, but Daniel Bryan, he keeps that genuine, keep it real, literally talk. He just says it out the cuff, man, and he's pretty good on that show.
And then the angle that they've had with Renee Young, Daniel Bryan, and The Miz. Oh my gosh, man, it's gone on another level since The Miz has joined.
Yeah, The Miz is must watch TV as well.
Yes, he is.
Gotta watch that, no matter what he's doing.
Yes, that.
All right, we're gonna conclude this wrestling segment by going through these matchups for the Cruiserweight Championship: Rich Swann versus Neville. Who wins? I got Neville. D, who you got?
Swann for now. Neville will win it eventually, but I think Swann will win.
So I got Rich Swann.
As Roger calls him, I like this nickname. Lexi and Marcus.
No.
For the win, baby.
No.
Hey, D, do the dance, baby. No. Do the dance, baby. There you go. Hey, you're going to win it, baby. Lexi and Marcus, bring it home for the hometown team.
The pre-match is the Club versus Sheamus and Cesaro, am I correct?
Yes, and I think they retain the titles.
Retain.
Also, you have Sasha Banks and Miss Jax in the pre-show pre-match. Also.
Yeah. Sasha Banks, man.
I got Nia Jax, even though I love The Boss.
Oh, that's the pre-show match?
Yeah, that's pre-show match.
Also. Nia Jax.
All right. I'm going to go with Sasha Banks. I think she'll find a winner.
All right, Charlotte versus Bayley.
Charlotte.
The queen of pay-per-view, Charlotte.
Can't disagree with you there. She has some great pedigree.
Bayley will get her moment at Mania.
All right. Universal Championship. Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. Me and Roger already said we got Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I got Kevin Owens.
The Shark Tank whole deal. I like Roman Reigns to win the belt, sadly.
Kevin Owens has been pretty good. He got good charisma. He's growing on me a little bit. I've seen a little bit of him. I think he'll find a way to win.
All right. And then for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, AJ Styles versus John Cena.
They usually don't do double belt changes, so I'm going to say Cena wins by disqualification. And they set up something else down the road here. And Styles will retain.
I got Styles retaining, probably by the same method that you're going by, disqualification. I think something's going to happen. Somebody's going to interfere.
I just don't see it right now because, as a matter of fact, I still have AJ Styles beating John Cena for the simple fact of he keeps saying, I beat John Cena, and John Cena can't beat me. I like that angle. I think that this is something that John Cena and AJ Styles both need. John Cena has to have somebody who right now is at the point of his career who he's rivaling and that he can't get over. And I like the angle that the WWE has gone with because the last time that they had somebody was Sheamus. But AJ Styles, you can see that he's actually able to compete with John Cena, and it's believable. And the fact that their SummerSlam matchup was off the charts, and it blew the roof off, and they actually, it was believable because it was a clean victory. We've never seen anybody kick out of a super attitude adjustment, and look, I just can't wait for the Royal Rumble. Who you got, AJ Styles or John Cena, Byron?
I do think before the year we will see Cena. You said get that 16th belt. But I like the phenomenal one. He's been pretty good. He's must-watch TV, and I think a lot of people are tired of seeing Cena with the belt, too. So that might play a factor into it.
All right, y'all. This concludes our wrestling segment. Don't forget to go to our Twitter poll and answer the question, is Matt Ryan the NFL MVP? This is the Flex Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM, giving you sports how you want it, when you need it. We want to thank True Sounds for our theme song. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TheFlexZone1. If you have any questions, ideas, or possibly want to be a guest, send us an email to TheFlexZone1@gmail.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and also catch us on Fox on Arena Sports Network Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Tonight's show is executively produced by Andre Melton. Our senior producer is Gravante Hurt, and our associate producer is Byron Dixon. Our host and moderator is Mikel Ramos, and our production team is Dwayne Allen, Hugh Scott, Brian H. Waters. Our engineer is Ty Rice. And our marketing team is Ava Key ND. And until next time, Byron.
We gone.
Well, you know.
Peace.
Lexington Market, baby. Take it home.